Blog Talk Radio.
Again to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. I am your host, Francine Humphrey, and as always, it is my pleasure and my delight to be with you. If this is your first time joining our show, thank you so very much. If you would like to call in tonight, the call-in number is 1-347-826-7543. I have a very special guest on the show tonight. And she is an award-winning author, playwright, a veteran, a mother, and her list goes on and on and on. And she's a darn good cook, too. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to my guest, Rebecca Pierce. Rebecca, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. Please forgive me if I start coughing during the interview, but I'm still battling my asthma / pneumonia. So, but I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. I know that you've been under the weather, and I hope that we can get through the 30-minute segment. And if you get tired, just let me know. And you know I have the gift of gab, girl, so you know I can fill in.
I'll push through.
So we're going to get started. Again, if you would like to call in, this number is 1-347-826-7543. My special guest tonight is author Rebecca Pierce of Richmond, Virginia. Now, you actually don't live in Richmond. What city do you live in, Rebecca?
We're in Midlothian, which is like a sub-county or suburb of Richmond, of Chesterfield, Virginia, really, Chesterfield County.
Okay, fantastic. So we're going to talk a little bit about you, and then we're going to jump right into the book. I know that the listening audience would like to know a little bit about you. So tell me if you were always a writer. Did it start when you were in school, or did you develop it as you matured?
I actually have always been a writer. I can't remember a time when I didn't have a pen or a pencil in my hand. My mother started me off very young with reading books. My first book that I can remember was Strawberry Shortcake. So I grew up always with a book in my hand, reading a book or a pen or pencil in my hand, and I started writing stories at a very young age. I don't think I really knew I wanted to be a writer until about the eighth grade when I entered a school book fair competition, and I wrote a story called Cool Times at Claremont High, and it won the book fair. And that's when I kind of knew, I was like, oh, well, maybe I can be a writer. And that's really when I started really believing and having it confirmed that my gift is writing.
Okay, fantastic. And I would like to know, and I'm sure my guests would as well, who has been a mentor to you or someone that you've modeled your writing career?
Well, I mean, I my background, of course, my master's is in English literature. I was a former teacher, English teacher. I taught literature for over 14 years, and, you know, we'll go back to it again one day, but first I want to take a break. But my teaching is hard and it's rewarding, but it takes a lot of energy and time out of you. And I'm not an easy teacher. I'm a very tough teacher. I require a lot of reading and a lot of writing. So my influences for writing, of course, run the gamut from, you know, Shakespeare all the way to Kate Chopin of the 19th century, James Baldwin, Richard Wright of the Kate Baldwin of the 19th, and Richard Wright and James Baldwin of the 20th century, Toni Morrison. I'm a big fan of Agatha Christie. Right now, my favorite mystery writer is Janet Ivanovich. I love Walter Mosley, Alexander McCall Smith out of Scotland. I mean, my tastes are eclectic because I have taught literature from the very beginning with the Egyptians, the Sumerian tablets, all the way up to 21st century text. So I have a variety of influences on my writing style.
Fantastic. And I know that you've written several plays, and I want to touch on that just a little bit. So can you tell us the plays that you've written and some of the awards that you've won? Because I know that you've won several.
Well, I have 4 full-length plays that I've been blessed to have staged all the way from North Carolina to New York. And the one that's actually picked up by a production company in New York is Belle Blue, and that's my piece on domestic violence and women's issues stemming from the piece takes place in the 1970s in the South. It's a really highly charged play, and it took 3rd place recently in the Venus Theater Festival in New York. It was the first time it was ever performed in the festival, and it took 3rd place out of 100-plus plays that were in that festival. So that was really exciting. And then there's That Colorblind Kind of Love, which is another highly charged play about race and love, interracial relationships and history, the history of racism and slavery in America. And that piece has done well in a couple of festivals, the D.C. Black Theater Festival last year. And then Perfect, which is one of my contemporary women's issue piece, which deals with being a modern working woman and mother, that placed in several festivals in New York and has done very well. And we're hoping to bring that back, actually, this year. And then The Mist, that play has only been performed as a stage reading. It's a very complicated psychological thriller, very much dealing with the issues of mental illness. And that play has not been staged yet, but because it's very difficult. It's a complicated play. So hopefully we'll get that up soon. And then those are the full lengths. And then the short plays, I have a book out now called On the Cusp of Humanity, a collection of short modern plays. Those are my 6 short plays. And Sarah's Blood is the award-winning play, which is the play that deals with child molestation. And that play has won Best Director, Best Actress. It took 2nd in All Out Arts Festival. That Woman's Child recently was performed in New York last year. That did very well also in festival. And then I have a couple other little different pieces in here. The Briefcase was developed as a film, and that did well in festival. And the play that I'll actually be showing tomorrow for Valentine's Day, Coffee mm-hmm. Break, A Love Story, that has never been performed. We developed that as a screenplay. I'm going to be sharing that with everybody tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. So check that piece out tomorrow. You'll see that for Valentine's Day.
That's
it in a nutshell, pretty much.
Oh, right. That is awesome. And how can they contact you tomorrow if they want to hear more about the play and be a part of the Valentine's Day celebration?
Well, you can, you know, Amazon.com is where you can find On the Cusp of Humanity. The play is available on the collection of those short plays are available on Amazon right now. And people can always go to my website, Rebecca, R-E-B-E-K-A-H, Pierce, at Synthesite, SynthesiteS.com, or just Google me. That's probably just the easiest thing to say. Just Google me. And my website will come up, and all my work is on the website.
It's fantastic. And we know that this is the age of technology and information, so I'm sure they'll be able to find you without any problem whatsoever. Now, Rebecca,
yeah.
I know that you are a veteran, so yeah. I have one question about that, and then we're going to move on to the book. Women have played a great role in the military, but we're still treated unequally. So can you shed any insight on that and how you feel about that in today's time?
Well, sadly, there are still people, men and women, who believe that women have no business being in the military, especially on the front lines. And my argument to that is women have been involved in every war in this country since this country was founded and even beforehand. So to say that we don't belong is ignorant, in my opinion, because we've always been on the front lines, whether we were nurses or, as history has shown, there have been many women who disguised themselves as men to fight in both the Revolutionary War as well as the Civil War and the Spanish-American War. We have always been there. We have always been present. If a woman decides to join the military and she wants to be on the front lines, I feel she has every right to do so. I served 6 years. I did my time. I'm proud of my service. I didn't go to war like, unfortunately, many other people did, but I was in a job where I got to help those people coming back from war recover, and I saw many women returning from the front lines, battered and injured and devastated, but proud of what they did for our country. So as a woman vet, I salute and support any woman who puts her life on the line to defend our country. I have some cousins, female cousins, who are in the military still serving, and I have a niece who's about to go into the Air Force and is going to serve this country. So I am a second-generation Air Force person. My father was in the military. So I'm very much in support of women. I just want us to beware that it's not an equal and fair playing field when you get in there. You do have to work hard for your rank, and you do have to have a good support system, because there are people there who will do whatever they have to do to get you out. And that's just period. So just be wise and be aware of your surroundings, you know, when you go in. But, hey, we're doing our thing, and I'm very proud of the women who are still serving and who have served.
Absolutely. So I guess in a nutshell, despite the change, women are still struggling and fighting to be equal, even though we are doing the same jobs as men in the military and even in the private sector, and we're still not being recognized for our gifts and talents. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a short break so Rebecca can get something to drink, so we don't want her to be dry. And then when we come back, we're going to start the second half of the interview, and we're going to be talking about the secret life of Lucy, Miss Lucy. And she's going to tell you the rest of the story. It's a fascinating story. I peeked into it a little bit, and I know a little bit about it, but I want Rebecca to give you the full version of what she wants to share with you tonight, and I hope that you will support her in all her endeavors. And if you live wherever you live, no matter where you live in the United States, whether you're in Russia, China, wherever you are, you can get her books. Just Google her. So we'll be right back in about 30 seconds. Right. Thank you for tuning in. And if you're just joining the show, I am Francine Humphrey, the host of Issues Concerning Women. My special guest tonight is author, playwright, Rebecca Pierce, award-winning, I should put that in front of it. And she's going to tell us about her fantastic book that's coming out very shortly. And so, Rebecca, are you ready?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay. So tell us about The Secret Life of Miss Lucy.
Okay, The Secret Life of Lucy Bossman, it's a very unique story. It's a story that I don't think has been told well or told at all in American literature. It's a story of a former slave woman whose husband dies doing an act that at that time, this story takes place in the 1860s, was probably considered treason, and that he tried to help insurrect a slave revolt in Tennessee. So Lucy decides after the death of her husband to claim property that he has left her in Richmond, Virginia. So she comes from Tennessee to Richmond to basically start over. But in coming to Richmond, she chooses to pass as a white woman because she feels it is the only way that she will be able to claim her inheritance. And this story is a really in-depth look at, from a fiction standpoint and also from a historical standpoint, that the role that women, both black and white, played in business, the development of business and commerce in America, because Lucy owns a confectionery shop. She owns a bakery, and she's very good at what she does. And so it's looking at women as entrepreneurs, but it's also looking at women and women of color as patriots. Lucy makes a very difficult decision as the Civil War begins that involves what many would probably consider spying against the South. And what I did was I put in this story one of the most controversial figures in Southern literature and Southern history, and that's Elizabeth Van Loo, who was a spy for the Northern Army. And I put her in this story, you know, she's a small character in it, but I have her in there because I wanted to show that the character of the mulatto woman has often been treated in literature as either a whore or a thing to be discarded. And there are so many untold stories of not just mulatto women, but black and white women and brown women and yellow women who risk their lives to get what's rightfully theirs. Women in the 19th century, if you owned a business or property, you were taxed higher than your male counterparts because the government and society didn't consider women as valuable citizens. In fact, they technically were not citizens. So how are you going to tax somebody a high tax rate and you won't even allow them to vote, which is the mark of citizenship in this country? So this story is really kind of looking at a variety of issues wrapped up in fiction. And what I wanted to really show was this woman who has to give up her identity just to have what a human being is supposed to have, and that is her dignity and the right to take care of herself. She, you know, like many women during that period, if you married, you lost your identity. You could lose your property. So there were many early women's rights advocates who would actually go around and encourage young women not to marry because they would lose out economically and politically. So The Secret Life of Lucy Bossman is not only looking at race, you know, the mulatto is the product of sin, supposedly, but it's also looking at gender, the rights of women, and what these women at this time went through to just to be able to own their own property. And I pulled from history real stories of real women who owned property here in Richmond, Virginia in the 1800s. And they were very successful, but it cost them heavily, and politically and socially. It cost them. So I wanted to have that conversation. You know, I wanted to look at what the Civil War also forced women and people in general to do in terms of love. I often taught in my lit courses when I would teach about Jefferson and Sally Hemings that how do we not know that they did not really love each other? The thing is race. Racism does not allow for love, and there are too many untold stories of people who had to pick their legacy or their wealth over love, and I think that that's the greatest tragedy in American history, in human history, to have to choose material things over matters of the heart. So that's what this book is taking a look at in all those respects, and I really hope people support the Pub Flesh crowdfunding campaign we're doing to bring this book to print. I mean, a lot of people want to forget or think that we're in a post-race America and we shouldn't be talking about these issues anymore. But this story is even deeper than race. It's about human dignity, the human spirit, and it's about the fight that women are still having, we still have today, to claim that which belongs to us.
Absolutely.
So that's in a nutshell. I don't want to go too much into it.
No, you're fantastic, and I wanted to have you on this month because it is Black History Month, but also next month is Women's History Month, and I want to have you back again if time permits, and I know that your schedule is busy, and because these are things that every woman should know about women's history, And I know that you being a teacher, I'm sure you feel the same that way that I do, that Black History is every month, not just the month of February.
Yes.
You know?
And so is Women's History every month, not
absolutely.
Just month.
Absolutely. So the story, when you started writing this, and as I recall, you started in November.
Right.
And you were doing, so tell us a little bit about how you started writing the novel and what it was like for you to put it together, and how long did you have to get it ready?
Well, I decided to write this novel for the National Novel Writing Month Contest, which is you have 30 days to write a 50,000-word novel. It is the greatest challenge for a writer. It is the greatest challenge, but I did this contest in 2009 where with Murder on Second Street. That was actually my first historical fiction novel. I wrote that in 2009 for the National Novel Writing Month Contest, and I republished it last year, 2013, and now it's a best-selling ebook. So this was a very challenging, this is a very challenging contest because all the rules about writing go out the window. I'm an old-school writer, meaning I write by hand, and this contest forces you to, like, throw that out the window because you don't have time to go back and retype. So I literally had to sit in front of my computer and type on the computer from my head. It is a challenging experience, but it's also a freeing experience because it allows your spirit to open up to creativity. And, you know, and I sat in front of that computer. I really didn't start until November the about 5th because I had to really think about this story and if I really wanted to write it, or rather, if it was the right time to write it, because I know a lot of people, when you race stories, people don't want to talk about those. They don't want to read those. But this story had been on my mind for 2 years. I actually came across this story idea while I was researching for Murder on Second Street. And I came across a newspaper article from 1862 in Richmond. And it, and in that article, a mulatto woman was arrested for prostitution, and she was accused of, quote, unquote, damaging the morals of white men. And I thought, well, how ironic that she's arrested for that when prostitution was rampant during the Civil War. And it wasn't just black women who were prostituting. It was very wealthy white women as well. So I thought, this is going to be an interesting story. So I sat on it for 2 years, and I always talk about how when the divine gives you a story, if you don't write it, he's going to give it to somebody else. And so I felt that this was the perfect time to sit down and write this story. And so I literally just sat in front of the computer every night. I forced myself to sit there every night. And I just said, just write what comes to mind. I can go back and fix it later. Don't get caught up on the editing because I'm a stickler for that. And and just write at least 1,000 words. That was like my challenge every night. And so, you know, Thanksgiving night, everybody's eating. I'm in the room typing on the computer, you know, bringing my laptop to the family dinner because I just felt so compelled to tell this story. And this character, you know, people might read this story and say, well, why didn't you have her do this? Or why couldn't she be that? Listen, the story becomes what it is supposed to become. And the great thing about literature is that you as the reader can take it wherever you want it to go at the end. All my job is just to present it. And even though I'm presenting it from a different perspective, that doesn't mean that you, the reader, can't take it in another way. And I may agree with it or not. That's not my job, though. My job is just to tell that story. So it was a very interesting challenge. I'm very excited about this opportunity. And I hope, and the beta readers that have read the story, the beta readers love the story. They are like, this is it.
Yes.
and I hope people give it a chance again because it's not just about race. It's about so much more, the human spirit, the power and the strength of women. And I really hope that, people pick it up and read it when it comes out. And just because I wrote this during a contest doesn't mean that I do this for all my novels. God, no. But this was something I wanted to do to challenge myself again as a writer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and I know that it's going to be fantastic, just like your other book is, because I have Murder on Second Street and loved it, and I'll have to get you to come back again, and we'll just focus on that one. But right now, we're going to continue to talk about The Secret Life of Lucy Bossman. If you're just tuning into the show and you missed the first half, you can go back in our archives and listen to it. All you have to do is go to www.blogtalkradio.com/ICW. Rebecca, I know that you have a campaign going to raise funds for this publication. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how somebody can support you in this endeavor?
Okay, so actually, The Secret Life of Lucy Bossman, I submitted the pitch for this book to a novel pitch contest, and it won. Out of hundreds of submissions, the pitch for The Secret Life of Lucy Bossman won. And the first line I used to describe this novel was, "It's Gone with the Wind meets Incident in the Life of a Slave Girl." And the owners of the contest, Author Sensei, they said one of the reasons why they picked this particular book was because they felt like it was a story that needed to be told, that it's not a story that you often see. So part of the win was is a pub slush campaign to raise money for publication. So our goal is to raise $7,500 in the next, actually now 22 days, to go towards three things. Number one, editing. You cannot put out a novel without professional editing. And I have one of the best editors in the game, and part of the money that we raise will go towards that aspect of publishing. You have to have professionally edited work. And so if I don't get anything, it's that I want money to pay this editor. It's a hard job. I'm an editor myself. I know what the time and energy it takes to go in and edit an individual's work. So editing is crucial to this book being successful. The second thing we're looking to use that $7,500 for is to have 200 paperback copies printed and 50 hardback copies made. I want to send copies of this book to major publications like Essence.com, like Oprah, like Writer's Digest, because I think it's a story that is going to open up more conversation about women and women's rights and advocacy for human rights. So I want to give copies out to my special beta readers and my fans who really support this work. So that's important. And then the third thing is, of course, as with all books, you know, you need to be able to market it. And there are certain marketing components that I'd like to try with this particular book. So, you know, the levels range anywhere from $10 all the way up to $500, you know, which is dinner with me and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I want people to really support this work because they are drawn to it and that they feel that this is a story that does need to be told. And I am grateful and humbled to every person who pledges to this campaign. We have to make at minimum $500 in order for us to get that funding. So I have 22 days, and you know we're at a small amount now, but I'm trusting and praying and believing that your listeners and my followers on Facebook and Twitter and all that will kick into gear and really, you know, go out there and support this book and pledge. Remember, the lowest is $10, all the way up to $500, whatever you can give. I'm appreciative and humbled.
Fantastic. I know that when we advocate for women's issues, sometimes it wants to be kept quiet and certain things don't want to be talked about. But we can't do that anymore, and that's why I do what I do with Issues Concerning Women, because I know that I can be a voice, and as well as you can, Rebecca, for those women who would otherwise not be heard. This story would not be told if a woman like you didn't tell it. So I want my listeners to support Rebecca Pierce in all her endeavors, but especially this one. Google her, get all the information, follow her on Facebook. It's easy to find. And if you can't find her, you can find me, Francine Humphrey, the same thing. Google me. Call back to Blog Talk. You can type in a little message, and we can find you. So don't let this time go by and think that you can't help. Everybody can help if they just would just open their minds to hearing what others want us to keep silent. We can't be silent any longer. We have to tell our stories, and as Rebecca says, who tells them better than we do? Because these are our stories. We stand on the shoulders of all these women, and we will be the shoulders that our daughters and their daughters will be standing on. So we need to do what we can to support each other. Rebecca, I am so happy that you were able to join me on the show tonight. I hope that you'll come back next month for the Women's History Month and that we can continue this conversation. Okay.
We can maybe do a giveaway. We can maybe do a giveaway next month on your show.
Fantastic.
Give away a copy of The Secret Life of Mr. Bossman. Yes. Thank you for having me, Francine. I really, really appreciate it. And, yes, let's hook up next month, and we'll do a giveaway to your listeners.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Issues Concerning Women, the radio talk show. My special guest tonight was Rebecca Pierce, and we hope that you have been inspired and uplifted by the show and also curious to go out and see what The Secret Life of Lucy Bossman is all about. I'll be back next week, Thursday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. In the meantime, stay blessed, stay warm, and I'll see you then. Good night.
Bye. Good night.